I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who have a lot of negative to say about the state of our country, and there are a lot of reasons why. But I believe that as long as there is God, there is hope. And I do not believe that our country will be turned back in the right direction because we elect a politician. I don't believe the answer is in the White House. I certainly don't believe the answer is in Congress. But there is a throne that sits higher than them all. And he's the one that blessed us from the beginning, and he's the one that can bless us again. And we truly do need to turn back to the Lord. And that starts with us in this room right now. And I want to just give you a word of encouragement before we get into the actual message for today. As I often say, this is for free, okay? Do you pray for your country? Truly? Do you pray for your country? We complain a lot about the country. We complain a lot about the things going on in the world. But do you pray for your country? Do you pray for your president? Do you pray for our elected officials? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2 that we're supposed to. I want to encourage you, during this independence celebration this week, if you've gotten away from that, maybe you've gotten into the crowd that just likes to complain, a whole lot better than complaining would be to pray. Because God's the only one that can make the difference that we need in our country. And so you take that for its merits. But that is my challenge for you this week, to take time to earnestly pray for God to do a work in our country. Now, before we get into this too, I'll say this. Many of you received a letter from me this past week asking you to give me some prayer requests. And one of my ministries as a pastor is to pray for our church family. And now many of you are brand new, and I haven't got the chance of meeting you yet. I hope to get to know your name and add you to my prayer list. But I say this, I pray for all of you. And it's a big part of what I do. I do believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it's not my effectual praying. God, for some reason, chooses to work through the prayers of his people. And it makes a difference. And so if you have a burden on your heart, I hope that you'll take the challenge and email me or set up an appointment to come talk to me or write out on one of those cards I sent you with that letter your prayer request. And I would be honored to pray for you. And that's one of my passions as a pastor, and so I hope you'll allow me to do that. We're in Psalm chapter number 23. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I think we know this psalm pretty well, and what a joy it has been to march through this. I am never ceases to amaze me the sufficiency of Scripture. And when the Lord led me to go to this passage, I had my doubts about being in it for as long as we've been in it. But I'm telling you, over and over, so many of you have been reaching out to me and just sharing with me in many different ways. So this has been exactly what you've needed during this season. And that is all because of God. And I'm so thankful for the sufficiency of his word in our lives. Now, our journey through the 23rd Psalm has taken us to many places. We started by learning in verse number 1 about the satisfaction of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And where we began the journey, we began by seeing the sheep resting in the care of a wonderful and good shepherd. And then we went on from there to verse 2 and began to see the supervision of the shepherd. Verse number 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And here we find the sheep down in the low country on the home ranch, very plentifully provided for and enjoying that particular season of the year. Moving on to verse number 3. Why don't you read it out loud with me, verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here we see the superintendence of the shepherd. We see the shepherd here beginning to move his sheep on from the home ranch. And as he does so, some of them get wayward, some of them fall over, and he keeps them upright, and he keeps them on the right path. We move to verse number 4, and there we see, as we looked at last week, the security of the shepherd. Let's read verse 4 together. It says, yea, though I walk, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. At this point, as we looked at last week, the shepherd begins to move his sheep up to the high country. And as he's moving them up, the easiest place to take the journey up that way is through the valley. And we talked about what it's like to go through the valley last week. And we talked about how the shepherd keeps you secure through the valleys of life. Now we come to verse number 5 in this study. And today in verse number 5, we're going to notice the supply of the shepherd. Let's read verse 5 together. The Bible says in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Now when the sheep make it through the valley, they make it all the way up from the low country to the high country, they find themselves all of a sudden cresting the hill on the mountaintop. When they get to the high country, a tableland spreads in front of them, full of fresh pasture, full of what we would often call the summer rains, where they can go and they can graze and they can enjoy plenty during those summer months. And after that steep mountain climb, how refreshing it must have been to get to the top of the mountain. Now, I grew up in Indiana. We didn't have mountains. We didn't even have hills, okay? We just had cornfields, okay? That's all we had. So I still, 11 years of living here, I still haven't got over having mountains around here. And one of the things that we're pretty familiar with around here is climbing a mountain. And we live right in the middle of them. How many of you like to go climb in the mountains? All right? Some of you like to actually walk. Some of you like to ride on your side-by-sides or horses, all right? Cheaters. You're cheaters, okay? But anyways, we know what it's like to climb a mountain. And there's a particular place where I like to go and hunt. When we go there, it leads through a ravine all the way up to the top of the mountain. And as you're marching up through the mountain, it's about a mile and a half. You climb about 1,500 feet in elevation. And boy, it's a workout to get up there. And many times we've climbed up that way. And I don't know about you, but when you're climbing up a mountain like that, you get to certain points where your mind betrays you. And you think, oh, the top's got to be just right over that next ridge, right? And you get over that ridge and you realize, you're not even halfway there yet, all right? You're out of breath. You need to take a break. And all that stuff has happened if you've ever climbed up in the mountains before. But I tell you what, when you finally get to that last hill and you crest up over the top and the flat land on top of the mountain spreads out in front of you, that is a good feeling of relief right there. There is rest. There is relief. There is joy on top of the mountain. And that's how it's supposed to be. And as much as that is true physically speaking, it is certainly true on the spiritual level as well. You know, we talked about the valley last week. And I'll tell you this about the valley. It is encouraging to know that on the other side of every valley, there is a mountaintop. There is a place that God is wanting to lead you to. And God will lead you through the valleys of life to get you to the mountaintops of life. And I think if we would tell the truth, that most of us would rather just live on top of the mountain all the time. I'm going to tell you, the mountaintops would not be near as good without the valleys to help us understand how much of a blessing they truly are. And so the burdens of the valley make the blessings of the mountaintop all the more rewarding. But I want to talk to you about the experience of these sheep with their shepherd on top of the mountain this morning, because I believe that's what we learn about in verse number 5 here. And so I want you to notice with me three encouraging realities God wants you to learn from up on top of the mountain. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to see the arrangement of the shepherd. The arrangement of the shepherd. Verse number 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." So up on the mountaintop, one of the first things we see here is that God has already arranged for the care of his sheep. And he does so in a couple of different ways. He's already made arrangements for them. The first way we see he does so is that the shepherd provides for you. Write that down. The shepherd provides for you up on the mountain. The Bible says in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me." Now the word prepare, it comes from a Hebrew word that literally means to arrange or to set something in order or to furnish something. And so the shepherd has already made arrangements. The shepherd has already prepared. He's already furnished something. What has he prepared? Well, verse 5 says, "Thou preparest a what?" A table. He furnishes, he prepares a table. Shulchan is the Hebrew word for table, and it speaks of a flat surface upon which you eat food. You know what a table is. I don't need to describe it to you. But Psalm 23, this is what's interesting to me. Psalm 23 is written from the perspective of a sheep talking about a shepherd. And so I started studying this week, and I was really trying to draw the parallel here. And I was trying to imagine a shepherd on top of the mountain, pulling the table off of his back, putting it out, and telling the sheep, "Come on and eat." And I just No matter how I looked at it, it didn't make sense, okay? It didn't fit inside the analogy. And so it caused me to wonder what in the world is actually going on here when the Bible speaks of a table. And it's difficult to imagine it being a table like you and I would be used to eating at. But you know, throughout history, ancient cultures have referred to the tops of the mountains as tables. They'll call them mesas. They'll call them tablelands. And that is what I believe is being spoken of here. And the sheep, following their shepherd, finally, and following the shepherd, get all the way through that valley, and they get up into the high country. What spreads out before them is that mesa. What spreads out before them is that tableland with plenty of foliage for them to be able to graze on through the summer months. And so it is on this mesa on top of the mountain, this green summer range with plenty of water and pasture, that the shepherd leads his sheep during this season of the year. And the idea that's communicated in this verse is that the shepherd goes before the sheep to find a place where they can be fed and they can be secure. So the good shepherd goes before his sheep to provide for them, to make sure that they have enough on top of the mountain. And so in a real, very real sense, we see the shepherd being a table setter for his sheep. Now, throughout my lifetime, I have been very privileged with experiencing many good table setters. All right, my grandmother is a great cook, my mother, my wife, my mother-in-law. And many of you ladies have had me over to your house many times. And a few of you men are actually really good cooks too. All right? You don't want to have me cook. I'll tell you that right now. But I have been blessed with a lot of great table setters. Not just good cooks, but great hosts to have you over and lay everything out for you. And there's a reason why in 11 years I've gained 30 pounds, okay? Between getting married and being a pastor, that's it right there, okay? By the way, my wife is into sourdough right now. Many of you have been experiencing that. She just came up with something. You've got to try it. Sourdough donuts. It'll change your life. All right? You may not remember anything else but that. You say, what'd you learn at church today? Sourdough donuts. That's what I learned at church today. All right? But boy, I've experienced some great table setters through the years. Whenever someone goes to prepare a table for you, there's a whole lot of details that go into that. They've got to clean the house. They've got to buy the food. They've got to prepare the food just right. They've got to set the table so that they can host you when you come in. And there's a lot of work that goes into laying out a table to host someone. I'm going to tell you something. There's never been a greater table setter than the Lord your shepherd. There's never been someone who can spread out just what you need better than what God does for you. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus has gone before you and made a way for you to be able to be invited to his table. He's died on a cross for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose again so that you could be invited to his table. And he has provided the richest supply of spiritual sustenance for when you come to his table. You'll never come to a table where you can be fed more fully than at the table of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but he has always has more than enough to satisfy whatever hunger you may have in your soul. John chapter number 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I'm thankful the Lord Jesus has gone before to prepare a table of provision for every single one of us that trust in him. But understand this, the Bible goes on to say something else significant. Look down at verse 5. It says, thou preparest a table. What's the next two words? Before me. You know what that is? That's grace. That's grace in two words right there. Thou preparest a table before me. All this was prepared before he ever got there, before the sheep ever arrived. In other words, he didn't get it on his own. And we've talked about this in weeks previous. But sheep, I think, are the dumbest animal on the face of the earth. And I've had this verified by very many people throughout this series, okay? And they don't know how to find their own pasture. Left to themselves, they'll stay in the same old field and eat the roots out of the very ground until it becomes a barren wasteland. That's what sheep will do to a field. And how comparable to you and I. Left to ourselves, we'll stick ourselves in a rut until it becomes something we can get no nourishment out. And the truth is, you and I do not have the power to bring satisfaction to our own souls. It is only through the Good Shepherd who goes before us to prepare exactly what we need that we can find true satisfaction. This is why the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You see, it's God's grace, it's God's undeserved favor to provide these kinds of blessings into our life. And so you know what you should do? You should make the decision today that I'm going to trust my shepherd to do for me what I cannot do for myself. I'm going to trust my shepherd to go before me and to prepare exactly what he knows I need in this next season of my life. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And so here we have the Lord spreading a table of provision, a blessing for his people. Now, how rude would it be if someone invited you to their house and they worked all day to prepare a meal, get everything ready, and you show up and you sit down at the table and you say, "Well, I'm not hungry." How do you think that'd make them feel? Well, some of you say, "I do that every day. I have kids, right? I understand. I've got five of them too, all right? And I understand that. But how rude would that be to do that? And yet, how much we are like that. You see, the Lord has made all this provision for you. And yet our tendency as human beings is to fill ourselves up on all the junk of this world. So much so that when it comes time to feast at the table, we're not hungry for the spiritual things God's provided for us. So the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And you ought to be careful about what it is you're filling yourself up on a week-to-week basis, because the Lord, your shepherd, has provided a table full of his spiritual blessings that he wants you to be satisfied by. But you know what you should do? Every day, you ought to come empty to the table and let the Lord fill you. Every day of your life when you wake up, instead of trying to get yourself filled up on the news or filled up on social media or filled up on any of the vain things that really can't satisfy you, you got to come with an empty with an appetite to the table and let the Lord provide for you what it is that he wants to give to you on every given day. See, the Bible says that God's divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And really, as a sheep, your only task on any given day is to trust your shepherd to provide for you what you need. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He, even on the mountaintop, you need your shepherd to provide for you. So we see the shepherd provides for you, but the second truth we see about how the shepherd goes before to make arrangements for you is that the shepherd also protects you. Write that down next. The shepherd protects you. See, the Bible says that the shepherd prepares this table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Now read that last phrase out loud with me. In the presence of mine enemies. Now up on the mountaintop, there are always predators around. And this is, again, an analogy of sheep in their experience with their shepherd. Now, I like to predator hunt. I like to go out and to hunt for the coyotes and the bobcats and all those different kinds of things, foxes and whatnot. Don't hate me for it, okay? But I like to go out at night especially. And when you go out at night, it's a very alarming thing. You get up on top of the mountain, which is some of those places are the best for to be able to set up the call. You shine a light into the woods to see what's looking at you. And when you shine that light, it is always incredible to me to see how many eyes are looking at me. All right? And sometimes it's quite frightening. We've called in several mountain lions through the years. Did not take them at night, of course, but that's always interesting. Whenever the mountain lion shows up, we leave, okay? We get out of there. But it's incredible to understand, and if you've been up in the mountains very much, you know that there are a lot, it seems like there's a lot more predators up in that particular country. I believe that's what David is referring to when he talks about, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You know, with all those predators around, the natural response of the sheep would be to be fearful. But they're not. In fact, the sheep are, by the definition of what the shepherd's describing here, they are at rest. They are at repose. They're grazing in a plentiful field. Why aren't they afraid when there are predators all around? Because the shepherd is there with them. The same shepherd that was there with them in the valley is the same shepherd that's with them on the mountaintop. And even in the presence of the enemies, they don't need to be afraid because the shepherd is there with them. And let me just remind you of something, because this is a comfort to you. No matter what season of life you're in, if you're on the mountaintop or if you're in the valley, it is a comfort to know that the good shepherd is always keeping watch over you. Now, some of you have in the back of your mind a fear. A hesitation, something that you think, well, that may happen, and I'm not sure how it's all going to turn out. And I want to encourage your soul today by reminding you that God's got you. And even on top of the mountain, you can be at rest and you can be at repose because you know your shepherd is there to sustain you. Now, the Bible does tell us that we face a very real enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And boy, Satan is always lurking around trying to disrupt and cause trouble for the people of God, trying to get them to fall into sin and all of these different types of things. And with the presence of an enemy nearby, it really goes against our human nature to rest and to eat in the presence of an enemy. If a soldier is about to go to battle and the enemies are on the doorstep, it doesn't really make sense for him to sit down and enjoy a nice steak dinner. If he eats anything, he's going to eat it quickly and rush off to the battle. And so to wrap our mind around the idea of eating in the presence of our enemy, what that requires is absolute trust in the person who is in charge. And that is where God wants us to be. When we get on top of the mountain or when we're down in the valley, to trust that our shepherd is there to sustain us. You see, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is, where, church? He's greater. Anything you're going to face out in this world, he's greater. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So you listen to me. The enemy can sit and stoop and contemplate what he can try to do to try to disrupt your life or to harm you, but he can't touch you unless the shepherd says it's okay. God is in complete control at all times, and you can rest in his protective care. And so here's what I'll say before we move on. Don't miss this. You need God just as much on the mountaintop as you did in the valley. Now, we're in the valleys of life. We're much more aware of our need for God. But our tendency when we get up on the mountain is to think, well, I'm okay now. And that's when we tend to drift. And that's when we tend to get ourselves into trouble. When life's going all the way that we think it should, there's no major problem pressing us close to the shepherd, that's when we tend to stray. But I want to encourage you, if you're on a mountaintop season of life, praise God for it. But stay close to your shepherd, because you still need him. He's still your provider, and he's still your protector, and he's still your sustainer, and you need him just as much on the mountain as you did in the valley. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And so the first encouraging reality we learn from the mountaintop is the arrangement of the shepherd. Thank God he goes before us to provide for us and to protect us. The second encouraging reality I want you to see is the anointing of the shepherd. The anointing of the shepherd. If you're still with me, say amen. Now, it's a little warm in the room. Y'all are doing well. Let's look at the anointing of the shepherd. Verse number 5. In the middle of the verse, it says, thou anointest my head with oil. We say that out loud together. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, up on the mountains, there are all kinds of annoyances that can harm the sheep. And I believe that is what is being alluded to when David, the shepherd, psalmist, said, thou anointest my head with oil. In the terminology of a sheepman, which doesn't come from me, comes from a shepherd here, he said summertime is fly time. And those of you that deal with animals, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. There are hordes of insects that emerge during the summer season, especially when it gets warmer. And Some of these are just flies that buzz around the cattle's head. Others will land on them and bite them. And others will even try to fly up their nose and lay eggs and cause them all kinds of health issues because of this. And so with all of these annoying pests that are around, for the cattle in particular, they can turn the golden summer months into a miserable season. If they are not delivered from those little annoyances, these little pests. And one shepherd that I read after said that sheep, if they start getting too afflicted by these insects, they'll literally start beating their head against rocks or posts. And they'll rub themselves raw trying to get rid of the insects that are around them. And so because of this annoyance, a good shepherd will anoint his sheep with some special ointment, or we could say insect repellent, at the first sign of these insects to protect them from it. Now here's a quote from Philip Keller, a man who was a shepherd and a pastor for years. He said this. He said, once the oil had been applied to the sheep's head, there was an immediate change in behavior. Gone was the aggravation, gone the frenzy, gone the irritability and restlessness, and instead, the sheep would start to feed quietly again and then soon lie down in peaceful contentment. And boy, I read that and I thought, how much like sheep we often are. How many annoyances, even when you're up on top of them, you allow to come up and just get you completely off track from just how good you have it. We get irritated while we're preparing to teach a class, maybe on walking in the Spirit, all right? We're trying to, and this has happened to me many times as a parent, I get frustrated and I overreact, and then I have to stop and say, all right, let's pray for this meal. And, you know, there's all kinds of reminders of this all the time. Life can be so going so good for us, and yet we allow the little foxes to spoil the vine, the little annoyances to get us distracted from how blessed we are and how good our shepherd does at taking care of us. And so we need this ointment. We need to be anointed with some fresh oil. And when the Bible speaks of this anointing, what he's speaking of is your good shepherd anointing you with the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, all throughout the scripture, when the Bible talks about anointing, it is always a picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And especially during the mountaintop seasons of life, when everything seems to be going well, it's so easy to allow little petty annoyances to ruin your day. And life has a way of sending you these flies that continually swirl around you and distract you from the direction that God wants to take you in your life. I heard the story about a little boy. He came home from school one day and he told his mom, he said, Mom, my classmate is so annoying. He thinks he knows everything. He said, just today he told me that the onion is the only kind of food that can make you cry. So I threw a coconut in his face. Now, I don't know about you, but that's how I like to handle annoyances in life, okay? Just hit them head on. But the shepherd provides us a better way to handling those petty annoyances when they come up in our life. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, our good shepherd, look down in your notes at John 14, verses 16 and 17. This is what he told us. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The Bible tells us that after a person trusts Jesus as their Savior, immediately they are indwelled by the presence of God's Spirit in their lives. And the Spirit of God goes with you as a believer wherever you go. And so when you wake up every day, the Spirit of God is there to sustain you and deliver you from these petty annoyances that can distract you from God's purpose for your life. But here's an interesting thing about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Though you have all of the Spirit does not have all of you on every given day. Just because the Spirit lives in you doesn't mean that you are living in the power of the Spirit. Just because the presence of the Spirit is there, it doesn't mean that the power of the Spirit is available to you if you are not availing yourself of it. And so it is important for you to wake up every day and allow God, your shepherd, to anoint you with this fresh oil, this fresh power from the Holy Spirit of God to be able to face whatever challenges, whatever irritations that you may face on any given day. And I want to remind you, church, you need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God every single day of your life. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And how often we try to do it without the Lord. And then when we face those petty annoyances in life, we fail. We get frustrated. We succumb to sinful temptation and all these types of things. All because we're doing it ourselves instead of relying on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this was a funny thing to me. I never knew this, but one of the shepherds I read after said that during the rut season for the sheep, the rams, they like to fight with each other. And so he said one thing he would do is that he would take some of his oil and he would apply it on their horns and on the top of their heads. And he said it was a hilarious thing because when they'd go to fight with each other, they'd just slide right off of each other. And he said then they'd stand there like they were the stupidest animals on the earth. Well, they are, but anyways. And it made me think of how often one of the petty annoyances that we face is fighting with one another. Right. Fighting with your spouse. Fighting with a fellow believer. And most of the time, the things that we fight about are nothing. We can't even remember what we were fighting about. We get all kinds of disagreements. Let me tell you something. If you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, He can bring you to a place of unity with the people who are around you. The Bible says in Psalm 133 and verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head." And that's the kind of ointment of the Holy Spirit of God that God wants to pour out into your life every single day. You've been trying to do it on your own for too long. You've been giving in to the frustration and the temptation and the confrontation. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to overcome these things that you've been succumbing to. So up on the mountain, we still face enemies. Up on the mountain, we still face aggravation and annoyance that we need deliverance from. And the shepherd has the answer for us with every one of these things. We see the arrangement of the shepherd. He provides for us and prepares for us everything we need in every season of life. We see the anointing of the shepherd. But the third truth I want you to see is the abundance of the shepherd. The abundance of the shepherd. Let's read the last phrase of verse 5 together. What a great phrase it is. Let's read it. "My cup runneth over." Now here the Bible speaks of a cup. Again, sticking with the analogy of the shepherd with his sheep becomes a little bit difficult to understand exactly what is taking place here. There are a lot of cups that are spoken of all throughout the Bible. I don't have time to read all these scriptures about all of these different things, but let me just summarize it to say that all the scriptures that refer to a cup, when it isn't literally speaking of a cup, it's using the cup as a symbol. It refers to not only the cup, but to the contents of the cup. And so a cup is used as a symbol of what a person is taking into their lives. If I were to fill a glass of juice or water and drink it in, it would go down in and become a part of me. And so the cup always symbolizes what you're taking into your life. And so there are a lot of cups referred to in the scripture. There's a cup of judgment. There's a cup of blessing. There's a cup of suffering that Jesus said he was going to have to drink when he went to the cross and died for our sins. So understand, these cups always symbolize not just the cup, but the content that is in the cup. And so when David, the psalmist, refers to this cup, "My cup runs over," what's in the cup? Well, I propose to you that what he is referring to when he speaks of this cup is the blessings of God. This cup is filled to overflowing with the incredible blessings of the shepherd in the care of his sheep. And let me tell you something. Up on the mountaintop seasons of life especially, it is so easy to be overwhelmed by the abundant supply of blessings God continues to pour out on your life. And many of you have lived in certain seasons where you have just been overwhelmed by how good God has been to you. So the Bible says in Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And boy, there are some seasons of life where it's just, well, you're drinking of that cup of blessing and you're just savoring every single bit of what God is pouring out into your life. So as we consider this cup, a few things I want us to see before we're done. First, I want you to notice who it is that fills the cup. When he talks about my cup runneth over, who's filling the cup? Well, I believe it's the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, God, our Lord, is the one that fills the cup for his sheep. And upon first glance, this psalm, this particular phrase in the psalm doesn't seem like, it seems like it leaves the pastoral imagery. It seems like it's not talking about a shepherd with a sheep. And I've really struggled with this, and honestly, I don't have it figured out. But here's the one thing I could come up with to not leave the pastoral imagery of this passage. Earlier in David's life, before he wrote this psalm, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the prophet Nathan came to David and told him a story. A story about a man that had a little ewe lamb. It was the only lamb he had. It lived in his house with him. The Bible literally says in 2 Samuel 12:3 that it ate of the meat of his own table, and it drank of the very cup that his owner drank from. And it slept in his bosom at night. This was their pet. It wasn't a sheep, it was a pet, is what it was. And there's that story, and there's a whole greater context to what's going on there. But I can't help but wonder if David, who was the one that Nathan told that story to, had that little ewe lamb in mind when he said, "My cup runs over." And just connecting it there to a shepherd and how wonderfully he cares for his sheep. Because I'm going to tell you something. God tenderly and lavishly supplies every need of those who are placed under his care. And so the point is, you cannot separate the filling up of the cup from the one who fills it up. God is the one who pours out every blessing in your life. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights." And I want you to understand this. Every single good thing that happens in your life is a blessing from God. And you ought to be thankful for it. So we see who it is that fills the cup. But a second truth I want you to see is, I want you to notice the manner of the cup. The Bible tells us that the cup is overflowing. My cup overflows or runneth over. Revaya is the Hebrew word used for runneth over, and it speaks of overflow. It speaks of abundance. It speaks of saturation. And it's easy enough for us to imagine a cup that is overflowing. You could probably picture that in your mind right now. Now, most of us, when we go to a restaurant, like many of you may do after the service today, when we go to a restaurant, you'll be hard-pressed to find someone who will actually fill your cup all the way up. At least that's been my experience. And if they do fill the cup up, then a lot of times they'll put so much ice in it that if you took all the ice out, it might be half full, okay? And how many of you have experienced that frustration like I have before, all right? Now, we've got a lot of good restaurants around here. Maybe you haven't experienced it as much around here. But it's hard to get someone to fill the cup up, not to mention overflowing. But understand the symbolism here. In David's day, when you went to someone's house and they filled your cup up to overflowing, they would literally do it on purpose, fill your cup to overflowing. You know why they did it? When they would fill your cup to overflowing, that was an expression in that culture that they wanted you to stay as long as you wanted to. They wanted you to stay a while. Now, that would make me think, if I went to someone's house and they didn't fill all the way up, I get the point, all right? Some of you might do that right after church, intentionally not fill someone's cup up, okay? And that's just fine. But it was an invitation that to stay as long as you want. We have plenty, we have more than enough, and you stay as long as you want. We want to take care of you. That was the message. You know, in a great and grand way, that is what the Lord our Shepherd is telling us as well. I've got more than enough. I've got more than you could ever need. And I want to supply it into your life. Why don't you just come and stay a while? Why don't you just come and rest in my care? Because I want to take care of you. I want to pour out my blessings in your life. You see, God doesn't just want you to have a full cup. He wants you to have an overflowing cup. God doesn't just want you to have enough. He wants you to have more than enough. Jesus said in John chapter 10, In verse number 10, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He doesn't just want you to have a good life. He wants you to have a more abundant life. And he is the one who is able to do it, because the Bible says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20 that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. And I'm going to tell you something. The sheep in God's pasture, God's people, we truly should be the most content people on the face of the earth. We are complete in him. He satisfies the deepest longings of our soul. And boy, my cup runs over. And one of my preacher friends down in Farmington, I'll often text back and forth with him. One of the things that he often says is, all this and heaven too. And I like that. Because we've been blessed with so much, and we've been blessed with so much more than what I think what we'll ever be able to comprehend. And we praise God for that. Now, here's an interesting thing. A cup that runs over cannot hold all the contents that are poured into it. You know what God wants you to do with the overflow of his blessing in your life? He wants you to share it with other people. See, God's poured out so much on you. And God wants you to take the extra, not store it up for yourself. God wants you to take the extra and go find somebody else that you can share that blessing with. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Give and it shall be given unto you. God pours out his overflowing best blessings on your life so he can use you to share those blessings with the people who are around you. Now, I'll say one thing about this matter before we're done. A word of warning. It is possible to be so blessed by God and yet not to notice it. See, God may want to fill your cup to overflowing so you can share it with others. But if you get a crack of disappointment, or if you get a crack of discontentment, I should say, the same contents that God is trying to pour into your life to overflowing can begin to leak out to where you never feel like you're full, to where you never feel like you have enough. And all the while God's trying to bless you, your discontentment is making you feel like you never have enough. Your greed, your sinful desires can make it feel like you never have enough. That's why the Bible tells us it's important for us to remember how good our shepherd is for us, lest we grow to a place of becoming discontent. Because discontent will lead you farther away from your shepherd. Discontent will make you feel like, I'm not satisfied here. I need to get to the other side of the fence. I need to get somewhere else where I can get what I think I need. And you don't realize you have everything you need of your shepherd. And that discontentment can lead you astray. It can lead you to a place that you don't want to go. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 103 in verses 1 and 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And listen to this, forget not all his benefits. We are a very blessed people. Listen, I don't care what season of life you're in right now. God has been much better to you than you deserve. I promise you that. It'd be good for you to realize my cup runs over. I am very blessed. That spirit of contentment in your shepherd can greatly impact your life. So you need God just as much on the mountaintop as you did when you were down in the valley. And God has made arrangements for you to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you in the good seasons of life, in the bad seasons of life. God wants to anoint you every single day with the power of his Holy Spirit to help you overcome those annoyances, those temptations that would disrupt your life and get you off track from his purpose for you. And God, your shepherd, he wants to abundantly supply whatever need you may have in your life. It'd be good for you to realize how good God has been to you. And when you're on the mountaintop especially, you can grow discontent. And I don't know if you've been struggling with that today, but I do know that this is a problem in American society in particular. We are some of the most blessed people on the face of the planet. And yet we can find the most foolish of things to complain about. It'd be good for you to evaluate the condition of your own heart. Realize how good your shepherd's been to you. Last week, we looked at the valley. This week, we looked on the mountaintop. In every season of life, what we know is that we need the shepherd. Here's the last thing I'll say. If you're out here today, and you're in a season of life, and you don't have the Lord as your shepherd, can I invite you today to come trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can find no satisfaction in anything else that you've been going after in your life. The only way you can solve that deep need within your soul is when you make the Lord your shepherd, when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you've never done that before, I hope today will be the day you come and let us take a Bible, sit down with you and show you Bible verses to help you understand how you can know Christ as your Lord and Savior from your sin today. Let's pray together.